Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
This week's episode of Mike and Judy is brought to you by Roberta's. Crush your fucking face. Yeah, you know how we do, because it's like Heritage Foods and Roberta's are like a two-headed animal that eats. Well, it actually just fucks other creatures and then it makes more awesome creatures that some of them might have wings. I don't know if you put that on this.
And then shout out Heritage Radio.
Heritage Radio!
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Mike. I love that new Roberta's ad. It sounds like we have Guar doing that.
It's absolutely fantastic. And I am, again, the luckiest guy in the whole wide world to be surrounded here at Roberta's by the most beautiful, intelligent women in all five boroughs. What did I do to get so lucky? What lottery did I win?
I picked out our dates today, too.
You rule.
I mean, our guests.
You rule.
That was pretty good.
So from our crazy cat lady special of last week, we got right back to the porn-tastic. How's Mitzi, by the way?
Mitzi's adorable. Mitzi's shredding me to shit, but so cute, as opposed to all the ugly kittens in the world. I got a cute one.
And last week, of course, was also Manly, the world's strongest cat, debut piano recital, playing the Moonlight Sonata. And
don't forget our other musical debut that we had last week.
And Judy's singing. You sing fabulously. It was
as if
the heavens opened up for
a
moment. Like an angel. So who are our guests today, Judy?
We have two lovely guests today. We have Lux Altrum, who is our first guest ever.
On Mike and Judy show number one. And today is show number 31.
Oh.
And they said it wouldn't last.
It's finally older than me, the show. But Lux has had some exciting news since we were last here.
I'm so happy to have Lux back and to celebrate your news. Tell us.
So I have for years been editor of Fleshbot.com, but as of Wednesday, February 1st, I will be taking over as CEO and publisher of Fleshbot LLC.
Woo!
So very exciting.
Yay! And our other guest, I forgot to mention Lux's beautiful, radiant skin. One of her finer
that
qualities.
Was close.
One of many. Well, I think it was because I was blinded from the gloss on Emily McComb's hair. She has such beautiful hair. She's the managing editor of XO Jane and was the did a wildly popular video series for AOL called Woman's Perspective.
I made her say that. The wildly popular and the hair.
May I say you have lovely hair? It's not sexist.
I just feel like since people can't see me,
your hair is so lovely.
They should know how pretty I am.
Lux, you positively glow. So radiant.
Do you polish that skin? What's up? So what we're doing is, well, these two ladies were both at the AVN Awards, which we missed.
The Adult Video News Awards.
People that end trips people up.
Yeah.
The Oscars of porno. As opposed to the Golden Globes of porno.
The Golden Dildo
Or the
of
Grammys
porno.
Which I believe
of
porno.
Is
X-Biz Awards.
Whatever, but the Grammys.
Since Mike is a recovering pornographer, I thought we would...
I'm unrepentant.
I'm
an unrepentant pornographer. I made the porn.
I'm going to see if you can guess which film won the Clever Title Award. Was it Asian Noodle Slurpers? Beggin' for a Peggin'? His booty is my duty. My favorite. I want you to make my mouth pregnant.
That's my favorite, too.
That's good. None of these are that clever, actually.
It ain't gonna suck itself. Or sweaty college girl butt stinky panties. That's my second.
You missed my favorite.
Which was your
face is loaded?
Agape. Look, I didn't like that one.
I like Faces Loaded. Yeah, you left that one like off, too.
When I want you to make my mouth pregnant is in the running. Everything else is. So which one do you think
won? What was that last one again? The butt stinky something?
Sweaty college girl butt stinky panties.
That's awesome.
Jack,
what do you think? Jack, what do you
want? That's my vote.
So clever.
It's so clever. It's sort of... it's like clever like that intro we did to our show today. Rawr. So which is the winner? What about something clever like Rambone?
You know? Those have been done.
Yeah.
I want you to make my mouth pregnant. It's going to be my... If I were single, that would be my pickup line.
That's going to be the name of my autobiography. The Emily McCombs story.
Which one
I hear Hollywood knocking. You're in Las Vegas anyway.
I believe it was Begging for a Peggin' that won.
Yeah, the winner. Yeah, like, that is correct.
Okay, is this indicative of the porn industry at large? They've lost their collective sense of humor? Because there's nothing clever about that at all. Except for the guy who got my mouth pregnant. It's actually pretty good.
Well, you know, yeah, that's good. What I thought was really funny was that best parody is split into both comedy and drama. They're two different categories.
I mean, the thing about parody in porn is that they're using parody in the legal sense, which is that, hey, we're totally ripping you off, but it's a parody.
Right, so there's the Sluts of the City parody.
Right, and so... They'll say we want to do a Star Trek movie, and it's not going to be funny because it's Star Trek. So even when it's parody, it's not comedy. So they make like a parody drama.
How can naked Star Trek not be funny?
It's funny. I actually got my start in this business. Star Trek was my beginning in the porn business. The first thing I wrote for Screw Magazine was a Star Trek parody. It was the first Star Trek movie came out. It was called The Captain's Log.
That sounds like a scat.
That's more clever.
Where's my fucking award? Yeah, I was like 19 and just dropped out of college. Where's my fucking award?
One thing that Emily wrote about was the feeling that you get. I mean, I only went once and I didn't go to the awards. I went to the expo. The way you walk around as a woman, and you're used to being recognized as like a female person, but when you go there and you're next to all these like completely exaggerated feminine women. You're,
gender magicians, I like to call them.
You're not a woman. Very apt. You're not a man. Yeah. You're just like some weird other that's like kind of invisible.
I felt as if I was wearing a burqa most of the time that I was there. And I'm used to being bombarded with sexual attention, as you can imagine.
I'm sure.
Your hair is very beautiful.
Thank you. And I've been told I have a very nice vagina, which people tend to pick up on.
She wouldn't show us her vagina, though.
I wouldn't?
Okay.
Did you ask? Really ask
no. Yeah, I mean, come on. This is my fourth time going to the Adult Entertainment Expo, and my second time going to the AVN Awards. My first time actually being not sober, but not like blackout drunk during the AVN Awards. It's interesting to me because as a lady and reporter or whatever covering the Adult Entertainment Expo and basically just interviewing porn stars, but also as someone who goes there for business and networking and is like kind of the industry while also being kind of peripheral to it. There's like a lot that goes into figuring out what to wear when I'm doing this because it's very complicated calculus. Because number one, I have to look cute because then the girls will relate to me better because it's like, hey, we're all...
Because porn stars are all cute.
No, seriously. If you're like, hey, I'm a hot girl too, like you get a nice rapport with these women. But on the other hand, you can't look too like sexy because you don't want to be like, I'm totally trying to compete with you.
Right.
And then I also have to kind of look professional because I have to like relate with... I have to go talk to business owners. I have to talk to company owners and I can't just be like, I'm a total whore. So, you know, being like balancing this like... I'm a sexy woman, but I'm not too sexy, and I'm also professional. It's a very
business cat
look.
Suit. Yeah, the answer to all of it.
I was going to ask, what would the aspiring lady reporter wear to the porn awards then? What do you recommend?
I mean, well, this wasn't the porn awards. I mean, porn awards, you just wear like a nice
evening wear.
I think
evening
something wear. That's sexy because it's very maybe fitted, like a nice like pencil skirt, as opposed to sexy because your tits are hanging out, is sort of the... Although I did bring my tits out for the actual awards.
Right.
With and the leopard. At three different guys asked to take a picture with me, which I felt really good about. As did my parents. I'm sure.
Can I have my picture taken with you?
Absolutely.
After the show?
Yeah, but I have to take my tits out first.
No. No, that's a deal breaker.
Okay.
Emily. What were some of your favorite products that you came across at the expo?
Well, people have to picture what this expo looks like. We're just talking about walls of vibrators.
It's the world's worst carnival.
And they don't give you any.
I know. That's confusing to me. I didn't get anything.
I was like, I'll review them. I'll put these things in my vagina and I'll tell people how they felt.
But Lux, you look like you disagree. You must get
maybe
a lot
Lux
of free
gets
crap.
Free
oh
shit.
Well, I mean, what I do is I go and I give them my address and tell them I'd like a review copy, and then usually I get it for free later.
I'll do it later, but I wanted it then.
Right? No. But they don't stock. I mean, they don't stock enough to just be like handing them out to everyone who wants a review copy. So I get that. And it's also, I mean, the sex toys and stuff are usually part of the trade show, not the consumer show. So it's really there for like B2B and like to be like, hey, sex toy store, you should carry my toy. Hey. And it's not about distributing. It's about just displaying. So I get that they don't have like copies on hand.
You're much more mature than I am. I'm just like, give me stuff to put in my vagina.
the worst thing that happened to me while I was there was I had to wear a parka because it was actually snowing the year I went.
No.
Seven or 8 years ago. And I tried out this thing that was like a toilet seat on springs on a frame that like the person lays underneath it and like I guess licks you while you squat down in it.
Oh, yeah.
I had so much clothes on and stuff that I kind of got like stuck.
Oh, no.
So I'm in jeans in this park. I already look like the asexual fug monster. And I'm like falling off this toilet seat on springs.
It's the Judy Bader 2000.
Yeah, it was not hot at all.
I was hoping there would be some of that like waitress at the strip club kind of appeal of like, I'm a challenge, you know, but I didn't really experience that at all.
The guys are really single-minded. Like they just want who they want, and
I always just try to avoid the fans. I mean, you asked what it's like. It's effectively like any kind of fan convention, except that instead of comic books or anime or whatever, it's about sex and
it's
about
sex nerds.
Porn.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's, so it's therefore a little bit creepier. I can't deal with being on the show floor when there are people there and when it's not press time, but I appreciate and respect it because it makes my friends money, and I like when my friends make money.
Well, fans make the business. They make any business.
I love perverts.
And, you know, porn fans are just as geeky, more so than fans of Star Trek or The Simpsons or comic book guys. Absolutely.
But I think porn fans get a bad rap. I think that people think that
porn fans get a bad rap.
I do. I think that people think it's like all like creepy, like skeezy dudes. And those dudes are there, but I think that, you know,
but if you're
going
to go to a trade show,
it's like guys who go to hookers. People think guys who go to hookers are gross. They're not.
But
just regular guys
who commit to traveling to a trade show to like film their favorite porn star.
It's not about.
I'm okay with that.
It's not about porn. It's about fandom for me. Like I talked to someone once, and they're like, "I went to AE, and I was interviewing all these dudes, and they were gross, and they were so obsessive, and blah 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 blah."
Yeah,
and
go
just
to
wanted
Comic-Con.
To be like, go to fucking Otakon. Like, go
I
to.
I don't know what Otakon
it's
is.
It's an anime convention.
Oh God.
But you know, go to these places. Go to any like hardcore fandom thing, and everyone will be crazy and scary and obsessive.
I went to
and
a I'm not sci-fi saying, convention.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying everybody at the Adult Entertainment Expo is like a mouth-breathing creep, but yeah, you're gonna find more people like that just because rabid fans are more likely to be obsessive and creepy and weird, and they're not, just in the same way that like everybody who goes to Comic-Con is not indicative of like every Joss Whedon fan.
Right.
Everybody who goes to AE is not indicative of every person who watches porn. I mean, you have to be a really committed person to want to like wait an hour online to spend like 2 minutes talking to Lisa Ann.
Can we get real for a second about the fans? Can I just for 1 second get real?
Go lot of
dudes in wheelchairs.
Oh, oh yeah. Really?
Oh, I oh, one
man,
of my writers.
My fucking heart.
I know.
One of my writers likes to play a game: count the wheelchairs and count the senior citizens.
Oxygen tanks too.
Ooh. Do you think they use the wheelchairs maybe for sympathy, though?
No.
Me neither.
Is it?
No, I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that, like, these people have found something that works
but
for them.
But it'll also probably let you cut to the front of the line, wouldn't it?
No.
No. Oh.
There's enough of them that know.
Wow.
I get to cut to the front of the line.
Me too. Yeah.
I'll go with
you guys next time.
Because I'm just friends with all these ladies, so it's like there'll be like a huge line to see Belladonna, and I like wait 2 seconds. I'm like, hey, Belladonna, let's hug.
How's she holding
she
up?
She's the nicest great. Woman in the entire world.
I love her.
My boyfriend
she's a delight.
She's like an angel.
You know, watching her films, I got the idea that she'd be pleasant
to have
around.
She is like a fucking angel.
No, she's one of my favorite people in porn. She's lovely. Last time I was in LA, she took me out for vegan food, and it was great. She's just a really genuinely delightful person. She was the last person I kissed in Vegas, so.
Who are some of your other favorites?
I love Female Performer of the Year, Bobby Starr. I really like Stoya. I mean, when I say like favorites, these are just my friends.
Right.
I really like the Burning Angel crew.
Local girls, Brooklyn girls, right?
Well, not really. I mean, they're kind of like Brooklyn, but L.A., really. And they do most of their shooting in L.A., but they did start in Brooklyn.
They started here. Yeah.
No, they started... Actually, they started in New Jersey.
New Jersey. That's even more authentic.
but Burning Angel always has my favorite parties, and all of their crew is great. Not a performer, but Leroy Myers, who's a director, and all his people are my boys.
I'm just sort of looking at the award list here, and MILF Cougar Performance of the Year was for India Summer. How old is she?
I think she's like 37, 38.
Really?
Oh, wow.
A genuine MILF, because, you know, in this business, you're getting MILFy at 24, right?
Yeah. I mean, but when you say genuine MILF, I don't think she's actually a mother. She's just, you know, I believe she's definitely in her 30s. I believe
we have our pizza.
Yay.
Right. I'll tell you what, let's the pizzas here at Roberta's, live on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Mike and Judy with the most porn-tastic guests of all time. Hey, Jack, let's take a break. Hit the music.
Awesome break song.
It was supposed to be Push Push in the Bush, but I accidentally picked the 12-inch single. Speaking of 12-inch singles.
Nice segue, Maguire.
That was really good.
That was really, really
Thank
good.
You. I'm like a professional. Emily.
Your porn career was pretty short-lived.
Yeah, but I concentrated more on drugs with the junkies. I had very little porn.
A lot of drugs. Speaking of which, you guys, have you guys smoked an angel dust?
No. Our beauty director loves it.
Oh, dear. Of course she does.
It's like every other tweet is about angel dust.
I can't believe people are doing it.
It's back.
It's back.
That's so crazy.
We got to do a show on the drug scene here in Bushwick. Like, someone's making Quaaludes out of their apartment, I understand.
Wow, that's
some
really
bathtub
hard to
chemist.
After that Roberta's commercial. I wanted to
talk
about...
Yeah, all the old drugs are back. All the bad old drugs are back.
I wanted to talk about Phil Verone's cock, Mike. I want to steer it back to Ween,
okay? Right. Where's the slide whistle effect, Jack?
pizza duty.
Emily got to interview my favorite sex rehabber.
My favorite sex addict. He says he's not a sex addict,
I didn't
though.
Believe he was a sex addict either. I think, like, any guy who's in a band has fucked, like, 3,000 women.
Yeah.
Any guy with the opportunity...
Yeah.
To do so.
I will say there was something very kind of compulsive about the way that he relentlessly hit on me when I was interviewing him. Like, it definitely felt like that's just the way he speaks to all women, you know? Like,
right.
It had nothing to do with me or anyone. It was just...
Yeah, where's the line, actually, between, like, enthusiastic and addicted?
Yeah, well...
I personally don't really believe in sex addiction, just in that I don't think it's a chemical addiction. But I think... It becomes a problem when it's interfering with your life.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose your job and, you know, get your internet shut off because you ran up a huge bill and you...
Yeah, well, I'm a recovering sex addict, so that's
okay,
like...
We have
yeah.
One.
Which I told Phil, by the way, like, in a nervous, like, just flat, like,
really?
I'm an AA. Like, I was just like, I'm a recovering sex addict.
I'm like an aspiring sex addict. Maybe you can give me some pointers.
Yeah, I absolutely can. Craigslist.
Yeah, really.
That's Craigslist. The number one pointer that I have for you.
I mean, you know, casual encounters.
Just anonymous, compulsive sex with strangers.
I think it's easier to be a sex addict if you're a woman. Like, you
it's, or a gay man. Yeah, yeah, it's extremely easy.
But straight guys, sorry, Mike.
Well, they end up going into debt because they pay for it.
Yeah.
Or watching a lot of porn.
I don't do either.
Like, Deadspin had a piece once with some dude who went to, like, sex addict rehab, and he was just talking about how he would just be up all night watching porn and, like, masturbating until he was raw and, like, shit like that, where it was just, like, beyond the point of enjoyment.
Ugly sexual compulsion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it exists. I mean, people.
Of course it exists. We know people with who are afflicted by us. We know people who are in the industry, in the magazine side of the business, who are afflicted by this.
Oh, really, Mike?
Oh, we definitely know at least one person I know who had to review like 12 films over a weekend and couldn't walk afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Ugh. Reviewing films, I mean, I reviewed a lot of films too, but the way we used to do it was you could you'd get a 20 sheet of slides back in the old days before everything came on CDs, and you could sort of steal it off the box and look at the slides. And
you wouldn't actually have to masturbate.
No, I know.
How would you know?
I'm trying to say you didn't actually have to watch the movie. you know, just sort of write some gaga juju, gaga goo goo, and then in the third reel, high pay, she gives the blowjob of the year and give her 3.5 penises.
The blowjob of the year! I wish that, like, I want to give a blowjob.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. I want to give a blowjob and have, like, confetti come down and a banner fall.
It can be arranged.
Call me.
So more about Phil. Okay, so you also went to...
You are obsessed with this guy's cock.
Yeah, well, I was very sexually attracted to him.
He's really cute.
He's really hot, and I had loved him. I'd had a huge crush on him on the show in that way that, like, you're a 12-year-old girl, and you actually viscerally kind of feel like... Like, you know, I was like, I thought he was really sexy. And then I met him, and the first thing he does is hand me his dildo and make me feel his cock. So it was
I so want a signature dildo.
Yeah, you should.
I should get one.
You should.
I have a nice one. Yeah. I have a nice one.
Really?
Yeah.
What are we talking, like, inches?
It's not about that.
Is he triggering you, Emily?
Yes, and I like it.
I mean, there's a Clona Willy kits. You could just do it yourself.
Yeah.
The Clona Willy kit?
Yeah. You can, yeah.
Okay.
You can make your own signature dildo.
Get the domain name, mikescock.com.
Mm-hmm. This is what I don't get, the like signature dildo. I get liking a size, whatever, but also like the thing with Fleshlight, how it comes in different races. My friend had a black one and a white one depending on his mood. Yeah.
Well, you are a very open-minded woman. You give your boyfriend masturbation toys. Japanese eggs, I understand.
Yeah, that I thought I left at my dad's house.
I actually received a Fleshlight that looks like a large beer can. Did you get this, Lux?
Oh, I've seen those. It's sex in a can.
Can you explain the Fleshlight to maybe the less enlightened of our listeners?
Fleshlight is the number one selling male sex toy. It is, the reason it's called Fleshlight is because the original one looks like... It's supposed to look like an oversized flashlight, but you screw off the lid and woo, there's a cyberskin vagina or butt or mouth inside with a texture. The thing, and then some of them, like, as the company's been around for like over 10 years, and as it's evolved, they've expanded into many different product lines. So there's the Fleshlight Girls, and also Flesh Jack is their gay focused line. So it's more like butts.
So there's a tiny butt in the Fleshlight.
Is there a tiny butt or is it just a beehole?
I mean, it'd be like a butthole.
Yeah,
but like there was one that's like actually a butt, and you pry apart the butt cheeks. And it was really weird to me because I'm like, are you trying to like screw some really tiny guy? Anyway, one of the lines that I'm actually
butt sex with a baby. Yeah, it's the name of my band.
That's a whole new kind of wrong.
One of the lines that I'm actually both really into and also weirded out by is the Fleshlight Girls and corollary Fleshjack Boys, where they take the inside is just like a fantasy texture, because if you actually molded the inside of a vagina in cyberskin, it wouldn't actually feel that great, because it's missing like the lubrication and the warmth and the actual person and the way like a body can respond. Like,
I appreciate the all texture, the thought you've given
the texture of a vagina on its own is not necessarily like woo.
I don't know, I beg to differ.
Well, no, I think I just think if you mold it in cyber skin, it's not like...
Yeah, but I see, I don't know anything about cyber anyway. Skin. I mean, honestly, I've never been ashamed to masturbate, but if I actually went out and bought something made of plastic look like a button stuck my dick in it, I would kill myself.
But, oh, sorry. But the thing I was going to say, so the Fleshlight girls and Fleshlight boys, they mold the external, like genitalia or butthole or mouth of porn performers. And then... That's kind of the entrance to the Fleshlight, and then the person's signature is kind of scrawled on it, like they as though they ritually scarred themselves, which is a little weird. But I'm not like, I mean, I'm weirded out by the whole disembodied vagina thing, kind of. But I really like these lines because they give royalties to the porn performers.
Okay, I can
so
see that
anytime you buy like the Stoya Fleshlight, you're giving my friend Stoya money, and I think especially. In the current market where, you know, piracy is killing off profit, people are not shooting as much. Porn performers are kind of shooting porn.
I'm going to be so rich.
To build a name, to make money other ways. And this is a cool way to do it.
Oh, the Mike Edison model is going to be
But yeah,
be
those
so
those disembodied, like, asses you can buy and stuff. And
you can buy Joanna Angel's
You can.
Butt
it's so
fuck it.
It's so serial killer to me.
Is it, though? Or is it sexy?
I mean, the other thing for me
or both.
Is, like, as a lady... I don't like dildos that look like actual dicks. It's
but
the
I
same
hate the
principle.
Dolphin.
As a fuck dude, I'm right with you on that one.
Like, I don't think that... It goes back to the same thing that I was trying to say about, like, the inside of a vagina. I think the inside of a vagina is great because it's attached to a person and it, like, moves and it squeezes and does all these things that cyber skin can't do. Like, dicks are great, but dicks are attached to people. And when you have this, like, disembodied dick, it's not necessarily the best way of... an inanimate object causing sexual pleasure. I think there's like dildos that are designed in a different way that just feel better than like a molded dick. So I mean, the dildos I like are usually like abstract and they're curved and they do all this weird shit that human bodies
and
don't
battery
do.
Battery powered, I imagine as well.
Well, that's not a dildo. That's a vibrator. Well,
okay, the fine.
See, I think of casual sex with strangers as sort of just a disembodied penis that's not really attached to a
yeah,
person.
Yeah, you don't have to worry yeah. about how they feel.
Just come over and do it
feelings.
And then leave, you know?
No talking. No
yeah. talking. Dinner. Cuddling.
Sometimes you're just not in the mood for a lot of yapping.
Sometimes you want someone to bring you a six-pack of Diet Coke on the way over.
Oh, yeah. That's the perfect man.
Party!
Sometimes you want to get laid and you don't want to put shoes on.
Or even pants or anything. So what do you guys see as, like, the next trends in porn? And, like, how, you know, or sex, whatever.
The trends in sex?
I mean, trends in sex. There's got to be a new position, yeah. right?
Well, Mike Edison dildo is going to be marketed very soon.
People, so the past few
I'm
years, people have been like...
Give me a free one?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Last few years, people have been really trying to fight free content, and I think now they're just going to try to figure out how to monetize free content.
With ads or something?
Yeah, or? Because it's basically like Manwin, which is the company that owns basically all the tube sites, has been buying like Playboy TV and Wicked and Digital Playground. They've been buying up all these professional companies too. So people can't really fight. Like, if Digital Playground is owned by the people that own YouPorn, Digital Playground can't really complain about YouPorn. So instead of like fighting, I think they're just going to try to like work with it, which in some ways is good.
Well, my understanding is people always ask me, porn maven that I am, how people, if pornography is free, how people are making money off of it. And my answer is usually that the people who are watching for free weren't the people spending money on it in the first place. And like any good drug dealer knows, the first taste is free. And honestly, the stuff that's on YouPorn and the free tube sites, it does not compare to the stuff you pay for in quality and impact. It's not even close. I tell people, take a look at what Larry Flint's offering for $9 a month. And you'll never again ask why people pay for it.
I pay for Bang Bus. I'm just going to put that out there. Because I made a decision for the first time in my life that I was going to pay for pornography. And it felt really weird to do because as a woman...
For pornography. As a professional.
I know, but as a woman, you're used to not really having to pay for anything to get sexual pleasure. Like, you know, he'll get the hotel room. He'll get the whatever. I want a sex toy. I want condoms.
This is a whole nother show.
Someone will buy that shit for me.
Female,
you know?
Entitlement.
Well.
Yeah, but we get screwed on the strippers.
Yeah, that's true.
Because male strippers, no good.
Are the worst.
They're the worst.
Why?
They're ugly. Okay, they're not gay. Ugly. I don't even think that they're all gay. They're all just like a type that I don't like big muscle guys. Well,
I think that female sexuality is a little more nuanced than male sexuality. Oh, you think? In that sense.
An interesting theory here, Emily.
I mean, if you take like a fairly decently, you know, a thin woman with large breasts, and you put her in a schoolgirl skirt and you throw her on a stage, like 90% of men are going to get a boner from that.
The sun comes up in the morning, I get a boner. I don't even need all that.
Enough about your boner, Mike.
I'm rich with the Mike Edison model dildo.
But if you, the assumption that all women are going to be turned on by this one mold of like muscly, like right. beefcake guy is just not
in
true.
A bikini bathing suit. Like, it's just not hot.
That doesn't,
how about a nice kind of chubby Jewish fellow?
I'm a chubby chaser. So for me in particular, the muscly beefcake dude is like not like the, yeah. I might as well be looking at like a crime scene photo.
Did you guys ever see Sweet Action? I like the boys in Sweet Action.
Oh, it's all hipster boys, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Too skinny.
They should have gone a little chubbier, but they were only around.
You have to go to gay porn for that. I look at like bear sites. There's a site called chubarama.net, which I really enjoy.
Recovering sex addict?
that's our producer, Flesh,
I'm not
Flesh
dead.
Jack.
Flesh Jack. Yeah, that's me today.
That's it, Flesh Jack.
I really wish that was a cooler product.
I guess you've been doing some research while we've been in here.
Uh-oh, Jack's on the internet again. Well, once again, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet.
And the dirtiest this week.
So, woo! Remember, everybody, go to fleshbot.com.
Thank you.
CEO and...
And publisher and... Yeah,
and everything. Lux, and visit Emily. Where are we going to find you?
XOJane.com.
Right on. Good to see you, Judy. See you all next week on our big Super Bowl show. Oh. Do you even know who's playing?
Yes, actually, I do, which is a miracle.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.